My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Psalm 5:3. Thank you for listening to the Gospel Radio Network, and now it's time to go to the studio in Mount Vernon, Texas for Mornings for the Master. Heard here each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time with your hosts Richard Rutledge and Ryan Smithy on Mondays, Ryan Smithy and Chip Horton on Tuesdays, Chip Horton and Richard Rutledge on Wednesdays, Chris McElyea on Thursdays, and Chris Groda and J.J. Hendricks on Fridays. Join us as we look at news and events in the Brotherhood, open the pages of God's Word in study, and focus our minds on living for Christ in the day ahead.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for tuning in with us today. As usual, I want to start things out and let you know what's going on the bulletin board this morning. Just a few things that we have posted I want to bring you up to date with. That we have a marriage and family seminar, What Every Family Needs. That's going to be September the 15th. Through the 17th at the Granberry Street Congregation in Cleburne, Texas. And they're going to have John and Carla Moore come and hold this workshop. Kick things off Friday night, General Assembly at 7 p.m. The Prince of Peace. John will direct that time. They'll have breakout sessions at 8 and 9 p.m. Where they'll have perspective classes for men and women. Tools for Relationship Building, with Carla speaking to the women and John with the men. Saturday, they will start things off at 9:30 a.m. with a General Assembly and a Love That Never Ends. And then they'll break out sessions again with ladies and men, Death to Destructive Habits. And then Sunday morning, things will conclude with Bible class and a sermon starting at 9 a.m. If you want more information about this event, just give them a call, 817-517-7713, or go to cleburne.church/family, and you can get more information on that there. September the 23rd, the North Main Congregation in Malvern, Arkansas, hosting a Ladies' Day, Make Me a Servant. Lisa Harris is the speaker. 9 a.m. is registration. Things will kick off at 9:30. They will provide lunch, but they've asked that you RSVP as quickly as possible to Amanda at 225-326-9179. Now, you can either call or text her at that number to RSVP. That same day, the 23rd, Camp Ida is having an open house for the camp. It says in this, the 41st year of operation of Camp Ida, a lot of changes have taken place and more improvements are in the works. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ elders and the congregation would like to take this opportunity for you to see the work that has been done. No thanks to all, to thank those who have made it possible and to look to the future of the camp. Please be our guest as we enjoy a day together to get a chance to update you on the exciting changes taking place at the facilities that will continue to serve as a place for the Bible is where the Bible is taught. God is glorified and Christian fellowship grows. Now that day we're going to have starting at 11 a.m. at the camp. Going to have games and stuff throughout the afternoon. Going to have hamburgers going to be provided. And John McCormack from Atlanta is going to be the speaker for the day. We do ask that if possible, if you plan on attending, RSVP at the Mount Vernon congregation at 903-537-4129 or at campidatx@gmail.com so that we'll know how many of those burgers to cook. But we look forward to seeing you there, showing you the camp and the exciting things that are going on. Texas Ladies in Christ The 2017 retreat is scheduled. It's October the 5th through the 7th at the Heart of Texas Brady Camp, Bible Camp in Brady, rather. Krista Bryant, Chele Guthrie, Carla Moore, Lisa Puckett, Mona Popejoy, and Aaron Sprouse are all the speakers who are lined up for the ladies' weekend. September the 1st, though, is the deadline, scheduled deadline for registration, and it may be a practical deadline before because they're filling up quickly. If you want a spot, give them a call, 325-600-4143, or go to texasladiesinchrist.org and do your registration there. Well, that's all I have on the bulletin board this morning. If you're aware of something that maybe we failed to announce, shoot us an email, mornings@tgrn.org. Again, that is mornings@tgrn.org. We'll do our very best to get it out in a timely manner so that folks will have a good notice of the event in your area. Well, today we're going to turn our attention to Proverbs 16 through 18, about 86 verses we have to cover. We're not going to be able to go through all of them this morning. Time will prohibit that, but we'll try to do it justice as we look at some of the groups of thought as we go through them. We're going to do that in just a moment, so have your Bibles handy, pen and paper, as we study together from the Proverbs, continuing our study through the Old Testament in 2017. Before we do that, we're going to take just a brief break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear, children far away or near. They are safe when in his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for joining us this morning. We now turn our attention to the Proverbs. We are in Proverbs 16 this morning. Try to run through about through Proverbs 18. It's going to place us with about 86 verses altogether or something along those lines. And we'll do our best to make this study worthwhile. We're not going to be able to handle all of these verses in this short time period. We'll try to grab some of these thoughts together, especially here in Proverbs 16. We'll start out with these first four verses. We'll add verse 9 into that group because some have placed it as the fact that, you know, man is going to propose a way and then God's going to dispose the way. But notice a few things about it. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your ways to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Well, when we start out here, we see this comparison to what man is planning, and then man, and then God brings to pass. And with this, there seems to be a limitation in man's planning part that we see in verse 1, verse 2, verse 9, is the idea that they're doing so, even as James points out, without God's input. But what God wants should be, and should always be, the question and determining factor in what we do. James says in James 4, 13 to 16, go to now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you do not know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice, and you're boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Plans are made, and God is left out of the picture. Verse 9, in this thought, though, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The psalmist would tell us, as we've already noted in Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's the same thought that James mentions. If the Lord wills, then we shall accomplish this. In Romans 9, 22 and 23, let's, you know, gives idea to what he says there in verse number 4, that the Lord has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. It says, what is God desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power? Has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. God even uses the wicked to his own glory. Now notice verses 5 through 9. In verses 5 through 9, we have this beginning, everyone proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than a vast revenues with justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And now let's combine also, let's bring in verse number 16, where it says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than rather than silver, with the idea of verse number 8, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Also, the pathway, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he who keeps his way preserves his soul. In verse 25, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the way of death. We have these paths that man can take, and we have these desires of the heart as well. The Proverbs 11 and verse 21 reminds us of the truth that is spoken in verse 5, and that is, even though they join forces, none of them will go unpunished, the evil. Proverbs 11 and 21, though hand in hand, or hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And verse 6, in mercy and truth and atonement is provided. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. But verse 7, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes his enemy at peace with him. I thought about Esau as he hated Jacob because of what Jacob did in securing the blessing by deception. Esau had said after his father died that he would kill Jacob. Jacob departs, remember, but it says in Genesis 27, verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning of my father is at hand, then I will kill my brother, Jacob. But sometime later, Genesis 33 and verse 4, when the reunion takes place, it's not a reunion of violence, but it says, Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Proverbs 15 and verse 16 also mirrors what we see here in verse number 8 and verse number 16. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. And how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding, and to be is to be chosen rather than silver. But he says there, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and the trouble therewith. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Or Psalm 37 in verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And mindful also of how Paul would speak to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, with those gains. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. Now, even in this same section, verse 9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. We consider verse number 17 and verse 25 with that. Remember Proverbs 4 and 26, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways and let all your ways be established. Again, the path that we walk is a path that is directed by God. Jeremiah 10:23, because he said, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. The pathway is illuminated for us. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have been given this way, and so we can follow the right way. In verses 10 through 15, he deals with the king and how kings should be and how their speech should be, how their conduct should be. But verses 18 and following, around verse 24, we have this contrast between the humble and the wise with the proud and the foolish. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, in a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be humble of spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. He who heeds the words wisely will find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of his lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. He points out several things here about this wise individual and how he will conduct himself and the words that come out of his mouth. He's humble in his spirit. He is an individual who even is with the lowly individuals. He heeds the words wisely, and he finds good things. He is prudent. He increases in learning. He is a wellspring of life. He is an individual who teaches his mouth, and it is sweetness as even the honeycomb. Many things James has pointed out about the dangers of the tongue in James chapter 3, and that is that individuals who cannot tame that beast will have a life of trouble. Notice verse 26 now. The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. But an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is his own lips are like a burning fire. The perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him away that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. We have these individuals, the ungodly, the perverse, the violent, that individual who's doing all of these things. But notice verse 26, the person who labors, labors for himself. First and foremost, an individual who is working, an individual who is laboring, does just that. He labors for his own good. He is the one who gets the first. That's what Paul would point out, that the farmer who sows gets the first food. God gets the first fruits always of our endeavors, but he is the one who would work to that end. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10 that if a man would not work, neither should he eat. Well, here we have his hungry mouth, his hungry mouth drives him on. Person gets hungry enough, they'll begin to work. Verses 31. The silver head is a crown of glory. Now, you know, when you think about that, there's a lot of times folks, and yes, we ought to honor, show, and respect to our elders, those who are older than us. We, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, and we do treat them in that way. But just because a person's old doesn't make them wise. Yes, Scripture tells us, Proverbs 20 and 29, the glory of a young man is his strength, and the beauty of an old man is the gray head. And Leviticus 19 and 32 says, you shall rise up before the hoary head, honor the face of the old man, fear your God, I am the Lord. But here he says the silver-haired head, the gray head, is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. There are many people who have many years under their belt and continue to rebel against God. That silver head is not a crown of glory when they live in such a way. 32, he who is slow to anger is better than mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Oh, if a man is able to control his temper, he said he's better than a mighty man. If he's able to tamper down that spirit, he is greater than a man who takes a walled city. What it takes to overcome those things. Proverbs 17 now. Better is a morsel, he says there, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Oh, he's going to deal with some things here in chapter 17. And with it, a house that is with strife within it causes many problems. Notice what the Proverbs writer would go on to say in Proverbs 21, verse number 9, when he says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. In that same chapter, verse 19, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Verse 2, "The wise servant shall rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." This servant is counted even among the inheritance of the sons. He is one who rules well. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the heart. He says here, you know, the one who fires and tries the silver, prepares it, or the furnace for the gold, but it's God who is examining us, trying our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, "That's the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." God, who is that one. In Isaiah 48, verse 10, God said, "Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." And so we have God, who is the refiner of the heart. Verse 4, "The wicked doer gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to the naughty tongue." These individuals flock together. The wicked doer and the liar and the false lip all together. We then see in verse number 5, "Whoever mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not go unpunished." He who mocks the poor. Proverbs 14, verse 19, "He that despises his neighbor sins, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he." That same proverb, verse 31, though, "He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy on the poor." John, in 1 John 3, in verse 17, reminds us of the need to not mock the poor, but aid them. "But whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion to him, how does the love of God dwell in him?" It doesn't. And the individual as well who is glad at calamities. Proverbs 24, verses 17 and 18, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him." Not the idea that it is now a joy when your enemy has hardships. "Children's children are a crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Proverbs 17 and verse 6. "Children's children, grandchildren, are the crown of an old man, and children are the glory of their fathers." Oh, what a blessing it is. Joseph enjoyed those grandchildren. Genesis 50, verse number 23, Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. And it says that the sons of Manasseh were brought up on Joseph's knee. A blessing. Job would receive such a blessing after his great trials. Job 42, 16 and 17. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. And so Job died being old and full of days. They are the crown of old men. Verse 7, excellent speech, becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. It's not going to make you look any better. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, the ESV says, and still less is false speech to a prince. It does not bode well for the individual. Verse 8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that has it, whithersoever it turns, it prospers. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates friends. And we look at that one again. It is the idea that the Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He is the one who covereth the transgression. He's seeking love. Not the idea that he's hiding it, but it is taken care of. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. But, he says, he who repeats a matter separates friend. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Oh, verse number 10, let's try to move through this. Verse number 10, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Well, the difference in the individual who will listen. The good and honest heart, reproof, will enter into that wise man's heart and correct. But even if you laid 100 stripes upon the back of the fool, he would not change. Remember, it is the fool, probably Psalm 14 and verse 1, who has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 15 and 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. An evil man, verse 11, seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool his folly. He points out that it would be better for the bear to be robbed of her cubs than the result of the fool in his folly. Verse 13, though, he who rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. It brings to mind the events that happened with David, and the sword would not depart from his house. Remember, as he had transgressed with Bathsheba, and then later on, he would have such heartache continuing in his house because of what he did. Having Uriah sent to the front line, this good man, having him executed, said the sword would not depart from his house. Verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be melted away. The ESV says the beginning of strife is like letting out water so quiet before a quarrel breaks out. In other words, you know, the water starts to flow and it's hard to stop it. Stop it now before this fight begins, before the quarrel and strife begins. Jesus had given a new commandment for Christians to love one another as he has loved us. John 13:34 ought to do away with those quarrels and contentions. But verse 15, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. He points to us the idea of legal proceedings here. In Proverbs 24, verses 23 to 24, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that says unto the wicked, you are righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. Verse 16, wherefore there is a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom. See, he has no heart to it. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born of adversity. Verse number 17. Adverse times brings men closer together, as we even see with Jonathan, Saul's son, and David. 1 Samuel 19, verse number 2, Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, I pray, take heed to yourself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. Tells us of this great friendship that they would enjoy. Because, 1 Samuel 20 and verse 17, Jonathan calls David to swear again because he loved him. And he loved him as he loved his own soul. A friend loves at all time, and a brother is born of adversity. But a man void, verse 18, of understanding strikes hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friends. He vows and vouches for individuals that are not worthy of such. He shakes a hand on things and vouches for individuals without understanding circumstances and consequences. Drop down to verse number 21 now. He that begets a fool does it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 127, beginning in verse number 3, that children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are to be a blessing and a joy. But it says, a man who has a fool for a son, a man who has begotten a fool, does it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. In Proverbs 17, if we drop down to verse 25, the foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to him or her that bear him. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. Chapter 15 and verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. And a similar thought in Proverbs 19 and verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. We could go through Scripture and we can find many individuals who acted in a foolish way that brought sorrow to their fathers. Esau was one in his foolish choices of marriage in Genesis 26 and 34. Eli's sons, as they had forsaken God and defiled themselves, even Eli would pay the consequence for them as well because he restrained them not. But the dangers and the disappointments of a foolish son. Verse 22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart. James says, if any is merry, let him sing a song. The merry heart. Heaviness of heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Proverbs 12 and verse 25. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart of the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Proverbs 18 and verse 14. Attitude can make all the difference in the world. This merry heart is like good medicine. In Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Have that positive attitude, those thoughts that are good. That's what Paul says in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He says, then we're going to approach God in prayers, supplication, with thanksgiving, letting those requests be made unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then he would say about this, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on good things. Have happy thoughts as well. And all the blessings. Sometimes we focus more on what we don't have instead of what we do have. We think about the bad instead of the good. And a merry heart does us good, but a broken spirit dries your bones out. Verse 23, the wicked man takes a bribe, takes a gift out of the bosom to pervert the way of judgment. Self-explanatory. Verse 24, wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. And a foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her that bore him. Verse 25, again, we have the foolish son and the hardship and the heartache that he brings upon even his parents. Now notice those last two verses. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Not the overflow of words, he spares them, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there is not a want for sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of righteousness studies the answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And so James would say, beloved my brethren, let us everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, James 1:19. And then in chapter 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. A man of understanding is of excellent spirit. But notice the last verse, but even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. Yeah, you've heard it said, it's better to be thought a fool and keep silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. One fellow said the only time he opens his mouth is to change feet. Well, a fool, when he doesn't open his mouth and let things out, he can be counted wise. But it says, he that shuts his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. In Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Or Job 13:5, you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be to your wisdom. Keep quiet, and men will think such. But the old preacher in Ecclesiastes 5:3, points out that a fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be or what shall be after him. Who can tell? Ecclesiastes 10:14. The danger again of the tongue. Let's now notice Proverbs 18. The tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeks and intermeddles with all wisdom. A fool has no delight in understanding, but his heart may discover itself. It's the ESV says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. the fool, Psalm 14 and verse 1, who said there was no God. The fool, Psalm 92 and verse number 6, it says a stupid man cannot know and the fool cannot understand. The fool who mocks, Proverbs 14 and verse number 9, at the guilt offering. It's this individual that he speaks of now who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only thinks about a way to express his own opinions. Drop down to 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. A man who speaks good words, it's like a deep well that is pleasing and feels the needs of others. Verse number 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Again, we have the unright, righteous judgment that takes place. This individual has perverted justice, but now we're back to the fool. Verse 6, a fool's lips enters into contention, and his mouth causes for strokes, or again, it causes, invites a beating. That's what the ESV says. A fool's lips walks into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Sometimes people say he brought it on himself. Well, that is the case, that he says things that he ought not, speaks words that cause violence. Proverbs 12 and verse 6, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers his shame. Proverbs 13 and verse 10, only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. But this individual is not such. He's one who is going to bring about violence. Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be a meddling. So here he is. He causes strikes. Keep going. Verse 7, the fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Remember, Jesus said, we're going to be judged by the things that we say. This fool's mouth becomes his destruction. Notice again, the tongue. The life and death are in the power of the tongue. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Some people have said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. It says the words of the talebearer are as wounds. That individual who goes about speaking things that they ought not speak, the whisperer, the one who is saying these things behind closed doors, that's this individual who is causing wounds and hurt and pain to the innermost part of the belly. Verse number 9, the slothful individual. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. This man is the one who trusts even in his wealth. His strong city is his wealth. Remember, Paul telling Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17, that whole section dealing with wealth, the love of the money, there in verses 6 to 10, he tells Timothy to flee from these things, this desire for such. But in verse 17, it's not wrong to be rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they do not be high-minded nor trust in the uncertainty of riches, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Trust not in the riches, but trust in God. Oh, the rich fool found this out the hard way in Luke 12. He was trusting in the uncertainty of riches when he looked and said that his barns held enough to last him a lifetime, which they did. But God said, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then who will these things belong to?" It is the Lord who is the strong tower. It is the one who gives. It is not the wealth that is the strong tower or the strong city. That will become destruction, this haughty man's destruction. Trusting not in the uncertainty of riches, but trust in God. Verse 13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Sometimes people want us to speak, want us to give an answer before we hear all of the facts. We would be foolish, full of folly, if we would answer before we hear all the facts. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but the wounded spirit who can bear? We've already mentioned this. The heart of the prudent gathers knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. This is that same thought here, knowing what you're speaking about. But notice, as we drop down to verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's hard to recover at times when we have offended individuals, but we are to be individuals who are of a forgiving nature, even in such circumstances. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, listen to what he says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Remember, Jesus said we are to be a forgiving individual. We're to pray for forgiveness in that model prayer. He said there, forgive us this day our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if we forgive men, he said, as he taught them, their trespasses, then your Father will forgive you. But if you do not, then he will not forgive you. He told a whole parable in Matthew chapter 18 about such. We see the fact that Luke chapter 11 and verse number 4, again, forgive us our sins. We are to be a forgiving people. So a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. But listen to verse number 21. Here's where we got our title for this one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James says about the tongue, beginning in James 3, verse number 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which is made in the similitude of man. He says, and that ought not to be. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. How we use our words. Verse 22, what a great blessing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Why? Because a wife, a virtuous woman, is the crown of her husband, but she who makes him ashamed is rottenness to his bones. And Proverbs 19 and verse 14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. And this book ends, basically, with this beautiful poetic language about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, 10 through the end of the chapter, that a virtuous woman, who can find? Her price is far above rubies. Oh, the blessings of this. The man who finds a wife, finds a good thing, he has obtained favor of the Lord. Why? Because we go all the way back to the very beginning, and God said it was not good that man should be alone. And therefore, God made woman for man, and she gave him to man. And man said, Adam said, she is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The man who has a wife, finds a wife, has obtained favor of the Lord. But then, verse 24. The man of many companions may come to ruin, or he that makes many friends does so to his own destruction. King James Version says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Now, that sounds pretty good. And that's exactly what he will have to do. But the ASV gives us the idea that as he does this, it's to his own destruction. Why? Because he's going to have to pander to their desires and their wants. And but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The value is not in quantity, but in quality of the friend. The man who wants to be everyone's friend must compromise and does so to his own destruction. But the one who finds a valued friend, the one who sticks closer than a brother, is a man of wealth. Proverbs 16, 17, 18, quickly going through them, trying to make a few notes on those as we go through, but we are out of time. Hope that you will continue listening throughout the day. In just a bit, Good News Today with Jim Dearman, great program, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy and Company. But don't forget, Mornings for the Master tomorrow with Ryan Smithy as he continues in Proverbs, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time here from Malvern in Texas. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6, 46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.